The Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been helping America's heroes and their families since 9/11. Hero first responders and service members who serve our communities and our country. Those who die in the line of duty or are catastrophically injured. Veterans who fought for our nation's freedom only to return home, fall in tough times, and become homeless. Heroes like Buffalo, New York firefighter Jason Arno and his family. Arno was killed while protecting his community, battling a warehouse fire. He left behind his wife and a young daughter. In their darkest hour, Tunnel to Towers provided Arno's wife and daughter with a mortgage-free home. The foundation lifted a financial burden, enabling them to stay in the home where they made memories with their hero. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good. Support the families of America's greatest heroes, the families of fallen first responders like Jason Arno, plus Gold Star families with young children, catastrophically injured service members, and homeless veterans. Donate $11 a month at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2t.org. If you are an accredited investor, U.S. oil and gas should be part of your investment portfolio. Visit LabradorEnergy.com. Beyond the possibility to invest in a sector that historically delivers sound returns, when you invest with Labrador Energy, you may be able to structure your investment to offset active or passive income. According to many sources, U.S. oil and gas drilling remains one of the best tax-advantaged income investments available. Visit LabradorEnergy.com. You may be able to reduce your tax liability while investing in a sector that has historically delivered sound returns. Learn more at LabradorEnergy.com today.
Offer for accredited investors only. Past performance is no indication of future results. Investing involves risk. Consult your legal, tax, and financial advisors and read the prospectus before making any investment decisions. Visit LabradorEnergy.com for the prospectus and more information.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Team Buck, welcome to the Freedom Hut. Happy Monday. Great to have you here with me. Much to get to. Mask wars making a comeback. No DOJ investigation of the nursing home debacle here in New York. Fauci is saying mask restrictions might be recommended. Plus, 90% of Detroit residents say they want more cops. And some back and forth on the Tucker NSA story. We will get to all of that and more in just a second. But first, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation helps us keep our commitment to never forget. And this year, the foundation is honoring Gold Star and fallen first responder families with young children and catastrophically injured veterans and first responders with 200 mortgage-free homes. Chairman and CEO Frank Siller is paying tribute to the fallen by walking from the Pentagon to Shanksville and on to Ground Zero. More than 500 miles through six states in 42 days, the month of August through 9/11. Towers of light will shine at the Pentagon and Shanksville memorials in remembrance. And the names of those we lost to 9/11 related illness are being read aloud at a ceremony on September 12th. On Veterans Day, the names of those we lost in the war on terror will also be said aloud. Do good and help America to never forget. Donate $11 a month right now to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org. Tunnel to Towers Foundation does amazing work. Highly recommend you give them donations on a monthly basis. All right, masks. Where are we with all this now? What is going on? What is the latest in the madness that we are facing? Well, if you are paying close enough attention, you'll see, you will sense that right now there is a push underway to force people back into the useless cloth over the face idiocy. Here is the Fauci.
Sources are telling CNN the top health officials are weighing whether to revise mask guidelines for vaccinated Americans. Are you part of those conversations? And if so, what are you advising? Do you think masks should be brought back for vaccinated Americans?
You know, Jake, this is under active consideration. If you're asking, am I part of the discussion? Yes, I am part of the discussion. But I think what you are seeing, even though as of our conversation at this moment, the CDC still says and recommends that if you are vaccinated fully, that you do not need to wear a mask indoors. However, if you look at what's going on locally in the trenches in places like LA County, the local officials have the discretion, and the CDC agrees with that ability and discretion capability to say, you know, you're in a situation where we're having a lot of dynamics of infection. So even if you are vaccinated, you should wear a mask. That's a local decision.
A lot of dynamics of infection, a local decision, he says. Notice that the CDC is sacrosanct. We all have to obey the CDC. But then when the mask maniacs decide that they want to go even beyond the CDC, when they want to do something much more than what the CDC has recommended at any point in time, they have no problem with that. They have no issue with it. They think, oh, great, we'll just make people mask up in Los Angeles. St. Louis County just added to the ranks of those that have mask mandates in place once again. Here's what we are fundamentally seeing, and I've been telling this all along. I've been saying it for 18 months. They do not want to give back the power that they have taken over you. There is a mindset, and it's really a political religious belief system that the left has. So this is about existential level for them. This is not just a preference. They believe that society needs to be under the control of an elite, and you must do everything that they say. Otherwise, you're a problem. You're literally costing lives. Think about how much power that gives you. Think about what that means in policy disputes and in discussions going forward about how we should actually govern this country. You think they're going to easily just hand that back to the other side or just hand it back to all of us? Of course not. But the problem they're facing right now is that we can see that their narrative is changing once again. They told us you get vaccinated, you're done. But now we see that's just not true. They're willing to give and then take away. The Fauci doth giveth, the Fauci can taketh away. That's how it all works. And I've been telling you, it's just a matter of time before they start saying, we need boosters. Time for the boosters. Here's the Fauci letting you know where he stands on boosters as of today. But I'll tell you the short version in a second.
And the data that's evolving from Israel and from Pfizer indicates that it looks like there might be some diminution in protection. And when you have that, the most vulnerable people are the ones that you were talking about a moment ago, namely people who have suppressed immune system, those who are transplant patients, cancer, chemotherapy, autoimmune diseases that are on immunosuppressive regimens. Those are the kind of individuals that if there's going to be a third boost, which might likely happen, will be among first the vulnerable. And the ACIP, which met on July 22nd, they discussed that in some detail and continue to look at the data that might push us in that direction.
You know, what we're seeing here is that this disease, COVID-19, is becoming endemic, meaning within the population. This is going to just be something that exists and that has to spread, and that there's no way, even with vaccines, to entirely limit the spread. And efforts to do so up to this point have been misplaced, right? To make it so that you're at what we call zero COVID. Zero COVID is unattainable and is a stupid and reckless idea, really. Zero COVID is not going to happen. Now, that doesn't mean, oh, we don't do anything, let it rip, who cares, which is what they always say. They create this straw man. But what you should be doing, what we should be doing as a society, is treating this in a way that is, yes, very similar to the flu. Protect the elderly. The elderly should all get vaccinated. Those with comorbidities, serious health conditions should get vaccinated. And for everybody else, just like with the flu, getting vaccinated should be a choice. And it's, by the way, it should be a choice for everyone, but I mean, it should be a choice that you should be left alone. Nobody should be trying to push it upon you, force it upon you. And the data, as the Fauci would say, so to speak, does not indicate that it's a necessary thing for you to be doing if you're on the younger and healthier side of this equation. So this is turning into a situation that some of us said it would all along, which is it's still going to spread. Mask mandates are stupid. The vaccine's not effective enough to prevent widespread continued outbreaks of this across the country, because you can still, apparently, with the Delta variant, give this to people. You are unlikely to get very sick, very ill. It's just like what you've known for years, for decades now, about the flu vaccine in that regard. You can still get the flu even if you're vaccinated, but and it's different year in and year out. But we're going to need booster shots. Every 6 months, maybe every 12 months, we're going to need booster shots, just like you get with the flu. So you can't set up a regimen where everybody has to get vaccinated all the time. And this is just untenable. And that's why this panic and the mask mandates we're seeing right now that are making a comeback. I mean, they're making an announcement today in New York City. New York City already made the announcement that all workers for New York City have to be vaccinated or they're going to get a weekly COVID test. So that's just harassing people into vaccination. That's very clearly what that is. But Governor Cuomo, hello, New Yorkers. I am not yet done ruining your lives and making you spend all your time looking online at homes in Florida. I have looked at the data and I find another effort here, another time where perhaps the mask mandate. He could do it. He could say there's going to be masks, or here's the problem. If they say even recommended mask mandate, then we're going back into a situation where lots of private businesses are going to put the mask mandate in effect. And I'll just tell you this. I mean, over the weekend, I was in my gym, and because, you know, I'm trying to be more consistent about working out. I was in my gym, and sure enough, I see there's only two other people in there. It's two women, and one is a personal trainer who has been hired, and the other is just a resident of the building. And they are both working out with masks on, and they had propped the door to the gym wide open with one of those large, you know, rubber balls that you can do some stretches and things on. You know, it's like a giant bouncy ball. They'd propped the door open. So when I walked in, I just kind of looked at them like, is there a reason why you're propping this door open? And they said, yes, because of fresh air, because of COVID. And I mean, this is just people who are having mental health issues at this point, right? The fresh air notion. Think about this. I'm going to leave the door open. We're going to wear masks. We're going to be in a gym. If they're that worried, I must assume, by the way, they were in their 30s, both of them. I must assume that they've been vaccinated. And yet this is what they put themselves through. And, you know, when I point this out, you have all these libs, all these crazy libs will say things like, why is it such a big deal? Why do you have such a problem with people just wanting to protect themselves? Because as long as this mentality of zero COVID lingers, it will make comebacks. It'll be like they have episodes. They will get triggered and make us live in their anxiety-filled delusion, too. This is why a federal mask mandate has still been talked about recently. This is why airlines require it, because it's just a matter of time before they want to be in a position to make you do it again. And the fact that there's no DOJ investigation of the nursing homes in New York just goes to show you that the interest in accountability for what has happened in this country during COVID from the left, from the Democrats, is zero. They have no interest in real accountability, no interest in actually looking at what has happened. Now, when it comes to libs, I have a PhD in being able to decipher their madness and their bullcrap. You know, you could call me Dr. Buck because I know the libs backwards and forwards. My postdoctoral thesis on insane leftists should be something that everybody should read. I didn't actually write it, but it's in my head. And I know that they, for example, are big proponents of defund the police, the elite lifestyle libs out there, you know, the upper middle class and above white liberals in places like Brooklyn, Santa Monica, the fancy parts of Chicago, Northwest D.C. and the surrounding suburbs, the main line in Philadelphia. I know what their thinking is, and that it's socially advantageous for them to pretend that they care so much about minority communities and police violence. Oh, I just care so much. Did you see the BLM thing I put on my Instagram page? Because I care so much. Anybody that puts their pronouns out in public or is a lifestyle liberal who's spewing BLM or hashtag BLM, I appreciate they do it because then at least I know what I'm dealing with right away. But I think they should be forced to answer for the fact that in Detroit, there was just a USA Today poll that was done. And in Detroit, over 90% of residents want more police. Over 90% of residents want more police. Think about that for a moment. It's pretty remarkable, isn't it? We've been told defund the police is something that a lot of people in America want, and the black community in particular wants. Well, Detroit is 80% black. So if 90% of all Detroit residents want more police and would feel safer with more police, it's safe to say that a strong majority of black Americans in Detroit also want more police, which doesn't surprise me at all, because black people, white people, Latino people, Asian people, people want to be safe when they go to the grocery store, when they're getting up to go to work, when they're coming home at night. They want their children to be safe. We all want that. And we all deserve that, too. We could live in a much safer society. But one of the big problems we have is that leftists are anti-police psychos because they don't actually suffer the consequences of the defund the police madness. They don't actually have to deal with what happens when cops aren't able to do their jobs in quite the same way. And so, sure enough, the people who suffer are the very minority groups in urban centers across America that the lifestyle, the white lifestyle liberal, pretends to care so much about. The whole thing is honestly appalling. It's entirely predictable. And in fact, we did predict it here on the show. It's something we should all be quite aware of. And, there was this flyer that was making the rounds over the weekend. This was remarkable. It was a flyer that was asking people, it was supposed to be from BLM. I can't tell you if this is real or not. It's in a rich suburb of Dallas. And what they're asking people to do, it's supposed to be from a BLM group. It could be, I read that it was real. I couldn't, determine right away whether it was or not. But it's essentially asking white allies if they are willing to forego sending their children to Ivy League schools, because here you go. Dallas Justice Pledge. This was awesome. It says, "Dear," and then it had the name of a person. "We are writing to you because we understand you are white and live in the Highland Park Independent School District and thus benefit from enormous privileges taken at the expense of communities of color. You live in the whitest and wealthiest neighborhood in Dallas. Whether you know it or not, you earned or inherited your money through oppressing people of color. However, it is also our understanding you are a Democrat and a supporter of the Black Lives Matter movement, which makes you one of our white allies and puts you in a position to help correct these cruel injustices. We need you to step up and back up your words with action and truly sacrifice to make our segregated city more just. We are asking you to pledge that your children will not apply or attend any Ivy League schools or U.S. News and World Report top 50 schools. If you do not have children under 18, then we ask you to pledge to hold your white privileged friends, family, and neighbors with children to this standard. These schools have afforded white families privilege for generations. Having your children attend these schools takes away spaces from students of color who really need the job opportunities, education, and influence that these schools provide. We know this sounds like a tough commitment, but it is truly disheartening to see wealthy white folks sending their charitable donations, posting Black Lives Matter on social media, or putting up yard signs as if to say the minimal effort is all they're prepared to do. Thank you for helping our city make our city more just. To sign the pledge, go to DallasJustice.org. I love this. This is fantastic. Now, if it's meant as satire, it's brilliant. But I don't know if it is or isn't, but it doesn't really matter because I agree with the sentiment. A Democrat who is a big supporter of BLM, if you're going to be a white ally, then you should be willing to make some real sacrifices in the name of justice. That's not asking too much, right? Your kids, as a white ally who lives in the most wealthy suburb of Dallas, don't have to go to a super fancy school. They've already had so much privilege. So, time to share the wealth, so to speak. Pay your fair share. Spread it around. Ah, but the libs, they don't like to actually have to deal with any of the consequences of this. They don't want to be told that they have any actual downside to posting their BLM hashtags and all the rest of it. No, you see, this is where all of a sudden the hypocrisy and the virtue signaling just becomes so apparent, so obvious, and everyone should be well aware of what the consequences of this will be, which is that, well, the consequences are nothing insofar as these white allies aren't going to do this. Their kids get to go to elite schools. Their kids get to get jobs based on family connection and everything else. But everyone else's kids who don't have that same amount of wealth, all the other white kids, you know, middle class and working class white kids out there in the Dallas area, they should have to go to crappy public schools, no school choice, and have to compete for college admissions on an affirmative action based scale where being white is a explicit disadvantage in a diversity based system. Problem for everyone else's kids, right? So the son of the carpenter, the general contractor, the police officer in Dallas who is white has to just scrap it out, do everything that he or she can to, son or daughter, obviously, to go to, let's say, a state school in Texas. But the people who live in Highland Park, who are in a $3 million mansion, I mean, you know, little Susie or little Timmy gets to go to Harvard or Rice or wherever. That's the way the system is supposed to work. Ah, it's almost like when you really look at libs, you just see hypocrites all over the place.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go, like, how do I detach from this idea of, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tucker Carlson got accosted by a moron over the weekend. It's not even worth me playing the audio in the air. Tucker was in Montana. The guy ambushed him. Tucker was with his daughter. He said that to the guy. I'm just going to tell you this right now. Anyone who goes up to a person in front of their kids over a point of politics and harasses them is lower than low. I mean, it's scummy to go up to a person in public and harass them because you don't like their politics in general, but it's really scummy to do it when they're with their child and you're putting them in a position where, you know, they feel like they're not only being demeaned in front of their own children, but also, which Tucker wasn't. He was a total champ about it. But you know what I'm saying? It's you're disrespecting somebody in front of their children, which is a really grotesque thing to do. But also, yeah, I mean, you know, if someone comes up to me and I'm alone and they want to start some stuff, I'm much more likely to get to feel like I can fully defend myself than if I had a small child or just any child of mine, which I don't have children yet, with me. But I didn't want to get into that other than just to say the left has normalized that stuff and it's disgusting and it's because they're a bunch of crybabies. And American liberalism is an ideology now of self-indulgence and self-pity. And they're just a bunch of little whiners. They're disgusting. It's really a shame. I mean, leftists in this country, there's really no worse American than a sanctimonious, upper middle class white liberal. I mean, they're the worst people in America today. And you see it in the way they act and the way that they conduct themselves all the time with things like this. You know, the MSNBC watchers out there, they're just awful. So the thing that I thought was more interesting, though, is when you look at Tucker Carlson's NSA claims over the weekend, Tucker Carlson, when you look at the New York Post, they say Tucker Carlson unmasking claim confirmed by NSA, according to a report. Here's what they write. The National Security Agency has quietly admitted that the Fox primetime host Tucker Carlson was unmasked as he alleged earlier this month. So that apparently happened. You know how CNN reports on this? Oh, well, he was never targeted, so it's not true. Wait a second, though. But that doesn't change the fact that he was caught in. They write here. Here's what they write. NSA review finds no evidence supporting Tucker Carlson claim that NSA spied on him, according to sources. Oh, so they're getting around it by pretending that incidental collection doesn't count. Quote, one of the sources said that Carlson's name was picked up in third-party communications and his identity was unmasked. In the NSA foreign intelligence reports, the names of Americans are redacted. So that would mean if that CNN source is accurate, which it sounds like it is, that Tucker was absolutely, it absolutely is true that he was unmasked. All the people who had been lying this whole time about how Tucker's lying deserve to give him a big apology, but they won't. That's not going to happen because it's all just about attacking Tucker. The truth doesn't matter to these leftists. They could care less about any of it. You know, it was really nice over the weekend. I said on the Clay and Buck show that I'm thinking about getting a French bulldog or an English bulldog puppy. I had so many great breeders who reached out to me over the weekend. So I did really appreciate that. And I think it's time to get with it. I think I got to time to get a puppy. I love Tallulah so much, but she's really with my parents and I need my own Frenchie that I'm with or my own English bully. And I go back and forth every day. I really can't decide which one is going to be the best one for me. I mean, Frenchies are a little more portable and a little easier to deal with in that regard. But English Bulldogs, I just think, are the cutest, and I'm a big fan of them. So for anyone who's listening who was one of the dozens of breeders reached out to me, just because I made a mention of this on the big radio show, Really, really appreciate it. And thank you for offering to maybe give me one of your pups. I mean, I would, of course, pay fair market value for it, but you know what I mean? Make a notation that the Buckster is looking for a very adorable little bulldog puppy. So, you know, you gotta take time to think about the fun things too. And I had such a good weekend because I got to spend some of Sunday with my dad on his birthday. 74 years old. The guy looks 50, but he's 74 years old, still has a great head of hair. And, you know, I always say this to my parents, and I really mean it. I say it to my siblings too. I've got a little sister, a little brother, and an older brother. There's four of us, and we're very close, and we take care of each other. We really are a team. And I've got great parents. We have a very close family overall where, you know, everyone really loves each other. We respect each other, and we're always looking out for each other. And I always tell this to my parents, the biggest advantage that I have had in life, other than a great head of hair, is, in all seriousness, it's the fact that I've had a family that was just a unit. You know, we really are a team, and my parents have been together over 40 years. I've got two parents who still, you know, love and support each other 40 years into a marriage. I've got siblings who are fantastic. My little sister, thankfully, is the first one to have a baby. My brother is getting married next month, so I'm excited about that. I'm going to be at my little brother's wedding next month. But my little sister has this adorable little baby, Ryan. He's my nephew. And I got to say, spending time with him and my sis and her husband, Ray, who's a great guy, spending time with them makes me really think more and more about, you know, it's time. It's time to... I'm to make a whole generation of little bucks or little buckets. I don't know if that's, we're not going to call anybody bucket. Don't worry. That would, sounds like bucket. That doesn't really work as a name. But I did what I told all of you to do over the weekend, and that is to go make memories. So the great memory was Sunday with my dad, spending time with him. And, you know, my dad's a man's man, and I've always really appreciated it about him. The guy's got he's just got a lot of courage, a lot of swagger, and he's very, very smart, and is somebody who, you know, I just always knew my dad was a dad. You know, he was the patriarch of the household, and taught us a lot of skills, and we just always felt like we had a real dad around the house. You know, Saturday I went and marched in a kilt in a charity event called Dress to Kilt. It was out in Long Island, so that was a little bit more of a challenge to get to than I anticipated. The drive from New York City to Long Island is a little bit of a mess. But I did march in a kilt. So if you want to see what I look like in a man's skirt, there are photos up on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. And the Scottish thing is, you know, it's a lot of fun. We had a good time. You know, I didn't quite get to put blue woad paint on my face, which would have been a Pictish tradition from, I think, like 500 AD, maybe a little later than that, maybe even a little earlier, I forget, something like that. Around 500 AD, you might have had the Picts running around with blue woad on, you know, Braveheart, William Wallace style. The kilt, as you know, is really a 1700s, I believe, fashion accessory in Scotland. Even though Braveheart is like 1200-ish. So it should have really, I mean, Braveheart, the costuming should have looked a little bit more like what we think of as a medieval times situation. But instead, they made it look like what you have in the movie or the show Outlander, which is very Scottish, which I recommend. I am looking for a great new show to watch these days. So if any of you have any recommendations on that, let me know. I have been watching, I'd never seen Deadwood before. I'd seen one or two episodes, but I'm really making my way through Deadwood. It is an excellent show. It's a little old now. It's about 15 years old, but I really am enjoying Deadwood a lot. But that'll be done soon. It's only three seasons. So if you've got a great show for me that's not one of the really, really obvious ones, let me know, because it's nice to have a show that you can kind of turn on and let your brain just go into that semi-sleep mode on. You know what I mean? It's nice to be in a situation where you can say, you know what, I'm going to just watch this and not have to think about saving the world, saving America, defending freedom, or any of that stuff. Producer Mark will be back with me tomorrow. Today I had to roll solo on this one because Mark had something in the morning, but we'll be having Producer Mark joining in. And please spread the word about this podcast, the Buck Sexton Show podcast. It's a great, quick way to get updated on the news, hear the most important analysis I have for the day. And it is, as you know, separate from the Clay and Buck Show. We're going to continue doing this because I always just like being able to speak right to you and have that opportunity. So please pass the buck. Don't stop, man. We need to keep this thing going and keep the word out and make sure we get new members joining us here in the Freedom Hut. And make sure you check in at BuckSexton.com for editorials, stories, and even merch at BuckSexton.store. We have Freedom Hut t-shirts available now. Really cool design. Please tweet at me, Facebook message me your Freedom Hut t-shirts when you get them. And we're going to have to think about a way to bring back Commie Bear and other things here soon, too. So, team, always great to have you with me. I'll be back tomorrow. Shields high. Since 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been committed to improving the lives of America's veterans, first responders, and their families. For over 20 years, the foundation has helped America keep its solemn promise to never forget. Tunnel to Towers provides mortgage-free homes to Gold Star families and the families of fallen first responders with young children, and builds specially adapted smart homes for catastrophically injured veterans, as well as work to eradicate veteran homelessness. David Marshall served in the Army during World War II and fought in the Battle of the Bulge. He's never forgotten the sacrifices of his comrades in arms, nor the efforts of first responders on 9/11 and in the days and months that followed. He is a loyal and proud foundation donor. Tunnel to Towers is committed to supporting veterans, first responders, and their families, and so many of them need your help. Join the foundation on its mission to do good and never forget. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2T.org. If you are an accredited investor, U.S. oil and gas should be part of your investment portfolio. Visit LabradorEnergy.com. Beyond the possibility to invest in a sector that historically delivers sound returns, when you invest with Labrador Energy, you may be able to structure your investment to offset active or passive income. According to many sources, U.S. oil and gas drilling remains one of the best tax-advantaged income investments available. Visit LabradorEnergy.com. You may be able to reduce your tax liability while investing in a sector that has historically delivered sound returns. Learn more at LabradorEnergy.com today.
Offer for accredited investors only. Past performance is no indication of future results. Investing involves risk. Consult your legal, tax, and financial advisors and read the prospectus before making any investment decisions. Visit LabradorEnergy.com for the prospectus and more information.
From original art and diplomas to ticket stubs and the keys to your first home, we all have mementos we'd love to put on display. Framebridge is the easy and affordable way to custom frame just about anything, with fair upfront pricing based on the size of your item and fast, free shipping. Plus, your happiness is guaranteed. See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit Framebridge.com or a local Framebridge store to get started. That's Framebridge.com.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.